job, Landon. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good job.
Welcome, everybody. Glad to see you here today. Sunday before Christmas. Next week when we come, it will be Christmas Sunday.
Woohoo! Yay!
So, Christmas is on its way. We still will have prayer meeting on Wednesday night. We do it by Zoom, but you're welcome to either call in or do it by Zoom. We'd love to have you join us. And it's just a great time of prayer. So I encourage you to come and pray with us. If you would like to get to on the GroupMe, so you can do it through Zoom, or no, the GroupMe is like prayer chain, and you can do that. Just see Debbie and she will set you up. It's very easy. And it's great to get a prayer request right then, and you know it's fact, and you can pray for it without, you know, how, if it's gossip, when you have to go through the line, sometimes things get changed, but it doesn't with this. To me, that's just awesome. I love it. And we can, it's important that we pray for each other. We still have the Advent food boxes if you want to do it, and I think there's still some a list back there, and I don't know when they're going to be collected. Setting them up, but I haven't done mine yet, but I'm going to do it this week and bring it, because if they have already done the boxes, they will use it for the food closet. So either way, they'll get to use it. So I encourage you to use it. Come do it anyway, because I know it will feed hungry families. And they are as gleaners on Wednesday. Be here before 11, because at 11 o'clock the food goes fast. And also, they're here if you know someone that is in need of help, be sure and come between at 10:30 and 11:30, and Helen or Sherry will help you with putting food on the, get you some food for people that are in need. And the community potlucks are still going to be happening, but we don't have the exact date yet. Usually it's the third Thursday. So Sherry has been sick, and we haven't found out. Do you know anything about the community potlucks? Okay. All right. Maybe you could talk to her and have her text or email Debbie. All right. Sounds good. And please check your mailboxes, because you probably might have some Christmas cards back there. And it saves stamps. These days, postage stamps are not cheap, so... All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just love you and praise you, and we thank you that we have this opportunity to come and just worship you. Father God, what an important time of year this is, that you gave your Son for us. And I just pray that we recognize the true meaning of Christmas as we come and worship you this week and next week. And we have great Christmas songs that have great words. And I just praise you. You are an awesome God. Be with us. Be with Pastor Teresa as she gives the message that we are to hear today. Be with us as we sing praises to you. And also be with us as we listen to that message, that we open our hearts and just get what we are supposed to learn this week. We love you and we praise you, Lord Jesus, in your precious, precious name. Amen. All right, we're going to have the Advent.
Well, I have the honor of doing love. Hello, I'm Mary. At Christmas time, you hear a lot about me and Joseph. We didn't plan to be special at Christmas. It just happened. Or perhaps I should say God had better plans than what we thought could ever be possible. Like many others, Joseph and I had plans to be married. Our parents had arranged it. We were in love. We had planned to raise children, and Joseph to continue building houses and other things. But then it happened. Our plans were changed. God had a different idea. An angel appeared to me and said I was going to have a baby. But not just any baby. I was going to give birth to the Son of God. His name would be called Jesus. I discovered that Joseph wouldn't be his biological father. Now, for a moment, I thought, how could this be? I am going to get married to Joseph. Surely God wouldn't want me to be embarrassed. But then I remembered the teachings from my parents and their parents that with God, anything is possible. And I mean anything. At the time, I was worried Joseph would not want anything to do with me or the baby, but he stuck around and stuck by me. He helped when things were tough. He loved both of us. Joseph would still be an earthly father to Jesus. God's surprises didn't stop there. Even today, he surprises us. He surprises us a lot with his love. As you open your presents this Christmas, remember that God brings you loving surprises. This can be clearly seen when I look at the life, death, and then life again of Jesus. Jesus showed people that God was loving, and Jesus really loved people. He wanted everyone to receive the benefits of heaven. No matter what people did, he kept on loving them. Not only saying it, but showing it. He would talk to them, help them, heal them, and respect them. Jesus is a wonderful gift that God gave not only to me, but also to you, and to you, and to you, and to you at home. So what about you? Are you open to God's plans for you? Are you prepared to allow God to change your life direction? Because when we do, we get to experience and share God's surprising love in many ways. Over the past 3 weeks, we have discovered that Christmas is about God bringing us hope, God bringing us peace, God bringing us joy. And this week, we have discovered that God brings us true, long-lasting love. So along with the candles of hope, peace, and joy, let's light the candle of love.
All right, let's stand and we're going to worship the Lord. We're going to start with Angels We Have Heard on High.
Angels We Have Heard on High, sweetly singing o'er the plains and the mountains in reply.
Like we did last week, where we sing two verses and then the chorus, and then two more verses in the chorus, and then we have one verse in the chorus.
Did you get
two? 2-2-1.
Ooh. the glorious star, bearing gifts we traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Born a king of Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Frankincense to offer have I, incense all the deity nigh, prayer embracing, voices raising, worship him God on high. Myrrh is wine, its bitter perfume, breathes a life of gathering gloom, sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, still in the stone-cold tomb. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Glorious now, behold him arise, King and God and sacrifice. Alleluia, alleluia, sounds through the earth and skies. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light.
Love it.
All right, now the Christmas tree. Oh, Christmas tree. And this one is different words. It's in the hymnal, and we really like these words. So meaningful.
Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, your branches are uplifted. You seem to say that on this day, our world supremely gifted, the shining of your candles bright, remind us light has come tonight. Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, you lift our eyes to heaven. Oh, Christmas tree, you shine like stars above us, and with your beauty silent save, how greatly God must love us. You show him who, with God's face, brought to our hearts the gift of grace. Oh, Christmas tree, you lift our eyes to heaven. Oh, Christmas tree, in plainness you were growing, until we came and brought you here and set your branches glowing. Your living beauty helps us see how clothed with Christ our lives can be. Oh, Christmas tree, you lift our eyes to heaven.
Those great words. I just love that.
Me too.
Yes.
Definitely.
All right. Our last one is O Holy Night.
O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, O hear the angel voices. O night divine, His cradle we stand. So led by light of stars and evening gleaming, here came the wise men from the Orient land. The King of Kings lay in all our trials, born to be our friend. He knows our need. He guards us from all danger. Behold your King. Yeah.
Good morning, church. God bless each and every one of you. Lord, please bless these offerings that we are about to receive, Lord, as you have commanded and as you have challenged. Lord, we really, truly owe everything to you, our very lives, with your coming and living a life like we have, knowing every part of it, and yet choosing to die to redeem each of us from it. We can't outgive you, but we can respond to your love. Amen. What a good week to keep up with the prayer chain, I'll tell you. That was some highlights at work there this week, I'll tell you. If you're in the congregation here today and you're not in the GroupMe chat, please see Debbie and get connected. And if you need help, ask someone who's already in it. And it just was so great to be able to get updates on Andrea this week and be able to pray moment to moment. That was a big thing that was in there. And know what's going on with Vicky as well, who's not able to be here with us this Sunday, and prayer for her and Jim's passing and all that going on there. Anybody else have a request or praise they'd like to bring up? Bill. If I remember right, at one time, those granddaughters were actually living with them, and Becky's son was there with them, if I remember right. And so for them, this has been a big missing part of their heart for a long time. And God is a God of restoration, yes? And should we ever stop praying for it? Never. And you know, we don't see it sometimes because his timing is so different than ours. But praise God for Dan and Becky, you know, getting time with your granddaughters and hopefully getting back in and influencing. Wink. So Wink was just sharing a phone call he had with Dan Croom, and how Dan was also sharing that praise with him, that he had had so much time with his granddaughters, and that really blessed his soul. And then Dan also told Wink he wanted to pass on that he wants to be here, but his doctors are cautioning him with his courses of chemotherapy. I don't know if you know, but chemotherapy usually depresses your immune system somewhat, typically. Yeah, it just brings it way down. And so they're asking him to be cautious with crowds. And then, so Dan, if you're watching this, your heart is here. We know it. We feel it. And ours is with you. And then finally, Wink, the third part of that was he has a body scan coming up, right? Is that what I heard you say? Okay. Tomorrow. Okay, so prayer for Dan Croom. Tomorrow has a full body scan to see if the chemotherapy is making progress or if there's any areas of cancer that are concerned. So prayer for Dan Croom and, of course, his lifelong sidekick, Becky, too. Absolutely. Prayer for both of them. That's right. Josh. Jess, right? So Josh is lifting up a housemate that had to leave where he's living this week because of health concerns and the need for more care, and asking for prayer for himself to remain healthy as well. I saw another hand. Bill. Dean Pate, right? And Sister Evelyn, is that what I heard right? Okay. So Bill's lifting up Dean Pate, a longtime Gales Creek resident, wow, who is terminal with cancer. And he's planning on going and visiting him. And he's a Christian, Bill says. So he is going to graduate to glory possibly soon, but that the fellowship that you're going to have, Bill, be sweet. Absolutely. Okay, I thought I saw. Yes. So lifting up Sherry Bagdonis, who is still sick and needs to finish healing. And then for yourself to get the eye surgery figured out, right? And you have to go to Portland for a specialist, right? Okay. So that'll be at KCI Clinic. So prayer that they will figure out the exact need. Is that appointment this week? Tomorrow. And you're in need of a ride, correct? Okay. There's the first praise. The Ronimobile to the rescue. Yep. Sarah. Baby girl's going to be 7 on the 23rd. Yeah, big 7. Some of you follow Landon closer than others, and some of you read Sarah's posts when we have trying times. And lately we've had a lot of behavior struggles at school. And we have, I'm not going to throw a fellow staff member under the bus, but it's taken a longer time for his teacher to get to know him than some in the past. And for the first time this year, I got a message home from the teacher that said, Landon had a great day. So that's just a huge thing, and yeah, he has a lot of social cues he misses, he sure does, but he hits them too sometimes. And there was this really precious moment this last week where he really, somebody he never knew, kind of, I don't know how to explain it, but he encouraged them with a spontaneous conversation and just to, okay, I hope you're blessed, kind of. Go ahead, Sarah. He's our rule follower. Mm-hmm. Yep. Now you guys have an idea to our daily struggle, right? And it's just such a blessing to see that. Carolyn. Mm-hmm. Yep. Please pray for Landon at school that he can continue to socially grow and have these insights. It's been really exciting to see this last week turn a corner. Yeah. Debbie. God is good. Wow. God is good. Debbie sharing a couple praises. First, she gets to have her surgery on the 22nd for her finger. And then Josh Kroom, grandson of Dan Kroom, third generation plumber, has his own business now, and came and kind of did an emergency fix in her bathroom so her regular contractor could finish the rest of his job. So thank God for that, because showers are the way that Debbie can operate easily. So thank God. Yeah. You know, we wonder about problems that come into our lives, like this shower and plumbing and all of that, and we think about that. Yeah, good thing you're not retired yet, because then you can deal with it and have it done before you retire. And God's timing is perfect, even in the problems. Yeah. Is there anybody else other than Debbie who is standing on his promises and that's why they're here today? Amen to that, right? Absolutely. Any last minute prayer or prayer requests? Yes. Okay. Yes. So prayer for your daughter Libby, who finds out test results this week, which we thought was last week. And then prayer for your sister and brother-in-law. Yeah. 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 So prayer for Tom and Lori Wiseman with a mold and mildew concern they have in their home that needs to get taken care of and how much stress it's causing them. That's right. Oh, wow. Wow. So praise that the new exterior paneling got painted white, and now the church matches, and it was done by somebody who was married here years ago and didn't even charge the church a dime. So thank you, Lord. Praise God. Many things to praise him for. Holy cow. Wow. So much. Yeah. I haven't told Judy this. Total surprise to her, but I had about an hour-long phone call with her grandson this week and got to encourage him a whole bunch. And just offered him again to come and sit with me at church. And we'll just see. We'll let the Holy Spirit keep nudging in his heart. But I shared Romans 12, 1 through 2, which has been very instrumental to me in my heart. And I'll let you look it up because we're going forever here. But yeah, it was a good moment of fellowship with Josh. Yeah. All right, Carolyn. So prayer for my brother Tony, who's supposed to be coming back from Barnstable, Massachusetts, and he'll be flying back. Prayer that he will make it back safely. Debbie. Larry, you're a blessing, brother. Thank you for getting our heat all squared away. Well, we're warmed up that right now we're all chattering. But it's good sharing. It's testimonies. Yeah. All right. Let's go together in prayer. Lord, we come to you. And you've heard the many needs and praises from our lips today. You know each and every one of them intimately. Why? Because you are God and you know everything. Lord, we can trust you with each one of them to bring about the best results for us. Why? Because you are God, all-powerful. And Lord, we know that we can't run and hide from you anywhere because you are God, all-powerful. Thank you for being God. Thank you that we can know that about you and be at peace, no matter what this fallen world brings. Lord, forgive us for this last week when we were short with a child, with a coworker, with a spouse, with a friend. Forgive us when we missed a divine appointment because we were too busy or we were scared. Help us this, Lord. Help us this week as you bring those to us to pause, see them for what they are, and trust you, Holy Spirit, to lead us in those moments. Thank you for finances. Thank you for jobs. Thank you for retirement. Thank you for this church family to come and be a part of. Thank you for spouses, for children, for transportation. Thank you for money to make it all happen. Thank you for waking us up each day. Thank you for taking servants home in your time. Lord, please be with us and heal our hurting hearts. Soothe us for those that have gone on. And give us peace about knowing their final destination and that we will see them again forever. Lord, for those that are ill and fighting cancer, Lord, you know who they are. Give their doctors wisdom on courses of treatment. Give their medication extreme effectiveness in healing. And Lord, give spouses peace and strength to get through it all. Lord, for test results coming up uncertain, let them be something that gives a clear course of action, Lord, rather than uncertainty. But if it's uncertain, we know who we can be certain about. Lord, there are so many things we have to be thankful for and to lift to your throne. Houses we live in that need to be fixed. Your hands and feet that come from places unexpected at just the right time. Opportunities to get things in place and fixed before having life changes. Problems that come up that end up being blessings in disguise because we trust you for your timing. Thank you, Lord, for all of these trials and tribulations that help us see just how amazing you are. Let us be a witness to you through these things, to the lives of those around us, and to each other. Lord, finally, we lift up Andrea. We, Lord, ask that her recovery continue to be steady. We thank you that she's back home. And we thank you for the prayer chain that we were able to pray her through it this week. We thank you for this church family, Lord, that we could be family together and today put aside everything at this moment, concentrate on you, and know you are more important than any of our agendas right now. Lord, take that thought. You are more important than any agendas, and put it in the hearts of our leadership, our political leaders in our land and around the world, Lord. Holy Spirit, knock on the doors of their hearts to bring peace, because when we know Jesus, we know peace. And for leaders that don't have him, they don't bring us peace. So Lord, bring not just a revival in this land, but it is needed all over this world. So come, Lord Jesus, come. We wait for you in anticipation. We celebrate your coming, not just your birthday, but once again to refresh our hearts. Amen. Kiddos, kid time. Just wait. How do you get up here before your siblings? Oh, I get my pens back? Thank you. Now, you guys know this song. Because I sing it to you when you go to sleep.
Yeah, since it's close to Christmas right now.
Yeah, the songs. I sing Christmas songs to them at Christmas time.
Oh, yeah. Yes, you do. I know what
that's about. Okay, Landon, are you ready? Are you ready? Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is... Go ahead and sing. I'm kidding you. Round yon virgin, mother and child,
holy infant, so tender and mild,
sleeping
in heavenly peace, sleeping heavenly peace.
Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing alleluia, Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Thank you, Lord, that you were born a king over all of your children, no matter what age. Let us remember.
No matter what age.
Let us remember. 49-year-old children, 9-year-old children, soon to be 7, already 14. 78, 85, whatever.
85.
We all celebrate.
Also.
You coming as a child.
Child.
And us getting to be one to you.
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's go.
Well, good morning. Good to see you all. Hi, Sister Betty. Lord bless you today. Thank you. Good morning to those who are visiting with us through our social media. God bless you. And I know if you've been with us the last 2 weeks, and maybe you haven't, maybe you've missed out,
The last couple of weeks, we've looked at a holy man that Scripture doesn't really provide a lot of information on, and that is John the Baptizer. Remember? So we've been talking about him, but despite not having a lot of information on his early life and really only a portion about his ministry years, we were able to actually learn some things from John the Baptist, right? We learned some things from his life. And so today we are going to look at yet another mysterious man. He's mysterious, but he's holy. Joseph, the father of Jesus, does not get a lot of what we would call screen time. You know, when you look at scriptures, when you look at the life of Christ, Joseph is just really a blip in all of that. He doesn't get a lot of screen time. We get his name, a brief mention of his lineage, and we know his profession, right? We don't know about his childhood, his adulthood. We don't even know when he dies. And yet, like John, there are lessons to be gleaned from this holy man. So turn with me to the book of Matthew. We're going to read a little bit about who this man was. See a portion of his life. We're going to be starting in chapter 1, verse 18, starting there. And I'm actually going to be reading from the translation, The Message. So if you want to follow along in The Message or whichever your preferred translation is. So let's look at Joseph. We heard the perspective in our Advent reading, Mary's perspective. So today in Scripture, we're going to read about Joseph's perspective. Here it is, Matthew chapter 1. This comes after the lineage of Joseph and Jesus himself. The birth of Jesus took place like this. Matthew says, his mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. Before they enjoyed their wedding night, Joseph discovered she was pregnant. It was by the Holy Spirit, but he didn't know that. Joseph, chagrined but noble, determined to take care of things quietly so Mary would not be disgraced. And while he was trying to figure a way out, he had a dream. God's angel spoke in the dream, Joseph, son of David, don't hesitate to get married. Mary's pregnancy is spirit conceived. God's Holy Spirit has made her pregnant. She will bring a son to birth. And when she does, you, Joseph, will name him Jesus, God saves, because he will save his people from their sins. This would bring the prophet's embryonic revelation to full term. Watch for this, the scripture says. A virgin will get pregnant and bear a son. They will name him Emmanuel, which is Hebrew for God is with us. Listen to what the scripture says. Then Joseph woke up. He did exactly what God's angel commanded in the dream. He married Mary. Now, as I mentioned before this text, there is minimal info about Joseph. He's mentioned in Matthew and in Luke, but the other gospel writer, Mark, doesn't mention him at all. And it's crucial to know this because Mark was actually written earlier than the other two. So it's fascinating that Mark is kind of like, yeah, it's all about Jesus, right? But the others say, oh, yes, but you have to know, understand his parents as well. So they give us a little bit about Joseph. After the establishing of his lineage in Matthew and the account of the dream, the only other significant mention of Joseph is that journey to and from Egypt when Jesus was an infant. And then the fiasco, remember when Jesus got left behind at the temple? It's like, really? Now somebody should have said, report them to DHS. How are you going to leave your baby back in another city? But anyway, that's a side story. So that's what happened. So it's there and it's recorded in scripture that Joseph, you know, failed on the job of parenting, as most parents do, right? Nobody parent is perfect, not even Joseph and Mary. But by the time Jesus is an adult, Joseph fades from that timeline. We don't hear anything about Joseph after that. So I think God doesn't have the writer supply a lot of details sometimes because he doesn't want us to get distracted by the details. Brother Bill, this is what happens. We put emphasis on the wrong syllable too frequently. And so when we have too much data, then we get caught up in the minutia of the data. And God is like, hello, people. Focus on the point of the story, not all the other stuff. That's just details to help you get to the main point. But sometimes we forget the main point and we start living our lives in the minutia. And God is like, no. Stop that. So I think that's why he didn't give us a lot of information on Joseph. If we knew all the things about Joseph, we may actually be tempted to make him a prophet, make him a savior of some sort. We might idolize him like we do the rich and the famous. And Joseph would be among them. So instead, God uses the humble story of Joseph to teach us regular, everyday people can be used by God for his glory and his purpose. We don't need to know every or even most of the details in order to appreciate his contribution and that of others. So here's some things we glean from what we do know about Joseph. We don't have to make it up. It's right there in scripture. The first thing is that Joseph is a man of noble character. He walks out his faith when he finds out Mary is pregnant. He actually is living out Micah 6 verse 8 in his own life. So remember, the New Testament believers don't have the New Testament scriptures. They only have the Old Testament scriptures, and that's what they live by. And so Joseph, being a righteous man, being a noble man, being a believer, is applying what he knows about scripture to his life. Let me remind you, I'll read for you what Micah 6 says in case you don't know that verse by memory. Micah 6 verse 8 says, he has shown you God, the prophet is talking about, O man, what is good? And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? This is what God expects of us. And so Joseph practices mercy and humility. Those are the things he does. He practices mercy and humility. How, Pastor Teresa? When he thinks that situation through, he ends up resolving to divorce Mary, but to do it privately, to do it quietly. He's not going to do it and draw a whole lot of attention to the fact that they're no longer going to be married. He knows the rules really are in his favor, yet he chooses to save her from humiliation. He knows she will live a life of humiliation because she's going to be a single mom. Single mothers were not common in those days. Not as common as they are now. Almost non-existent. According to the Mosaic law, a couple, both the man and the woman, should be stoned to death for having sexual relations outside of marriage. You can read about it in Deuteronomy 22. So anytime you want to know about the Mosaic law, just go to Deuteronomy and Leviticus. Tons of laws there. And when they apply to what situation. So if you go to Deuteronomy 22, that would allow Joseph to bring Mary to court and seek punishment. The law literally reads to take the pair outside the city gates and stone them to death. Ugh. I know, it's gruesome, but that's what the law said that could be done. But guess what he does? Because he's practicing mercy and humility, he does not do that. He could have, but he doesn't. He deliberately chose mercy. So he practices mercy, he practices humility. But here's the other thing about Joseph. He submits his will to that of God. Look back at the passage. Verses 20 through 23 says this. While he was trying to figure a way out, he had a dream. God's angel spoke in that dream. Joseph, son of David, don't hesitate to get married. Mary's pregnancy is spirit conceived. And then verse 24 says, then Joseph woke up. He did exactly what God's angel commanded in the dream. He married Mary. Now, I had one word when I read that. My word was, whoa. Whoa. Very little told about Joseph. But look at what the scripture reveals. While he was thinking about what to do, God, I don't understand. You know, I just, like Mary said in the Advent, I just wanted to get married, have kids, raise my family, live for God. What is all of this? What is this stuff? He was really thinking about what to do. And when he goes to bed to sleep on it, God speaks to him in a dream. Remember, we talked about doubting God at times. He really could have said to himself, it must have been the anchovies, Sister Lori. But he doesn't do that. He doesn't blame the dream on the anchovies. He doesn't do that. He accepts the divine explanation from the angel. If Mary had explained to him she got pregnant by the Spirit, he may not have shown mercy and humility. So God doesn't even allow Mary to have that conversation with him. He knows, I must tell Joseph myself. And so he speaks to him in a dream. Joseph probably would have done what any of us would do. Mary, really, of all the stories you could have come up with, it's by God's Spirit. Really, Mary? You want me to believe God chose you to have his Messiah? Okay, right. He probably wouldn't have believed her. Who would? Now, in scripture, all throughout Old Testament, we see barren couples having kids. We see old people having kids. But nobody, Sister Linda, just magically has a baby all by themselves. That just doesn't happen. Because you know, that's what all the neighbors said. Mm-hmm. Did you hear what happened to Joseph? He's such a nice man. I can't believe his betrothed is pregnant. He should have her stoned. Mm-hmm. And then the other people were saying, I can't believe that grown man is going around like nothing's happened. The nerve of him getting poor Mary pregnant before they're formally married. He better be glad he's not my son-in-law because I'd have him stoned. That's what the law says. And then, of course, there was the extended family who knew more of the details and doubted the whole thing out the gate. Why in the world is Joseph trying to be so holy? He just needs to admit he and Mary were hanging out unchaperoned and that baby is his. Who does he think he is going to believe that for one hot minute? Nobody. We know him better. And we're not going to mention the church folk, because y'all church folk, y'all really had it in for their, you know, with their sanctified responses, because we've all been living saved for God forever and ever. And we would never find ourselves in such a predicament, or any other predicament for that matter. So Joseph anticipated all that drama that would lie ahead. He ran those stories through his mind. The shaming, the blaming, the constant whispers when they would be out in public. People would stare and give him the side eye. The unborn baby gave the town quite a bit to talk about. But it wouldn't end there. Rumors would be sure to follow the rest of the days of their lives. Joseph could have done like some of the old kings of Israel. He could have leaned into his comfort, his entitlement, and refused God's will. Now, some of the kings after their coronation in the Old Testament ended up walking away from God. They started worshiping other gods. They let all kinds of foolery happen amongst the Israelites. They built altars to some of those false gods in honor of them. And they neglected reading what scriptures they did have and observing the laws that God had given them. Joseph could have done that. Joseph could have asked the angel, "What's in it for me? I mean, I hear your excitement about the Messiah finally coming, but what does that have to do with me? It doesn't look good on my part. People are going to ridicule me, and I'll remain middle class," because he was a carpenter, right? Carpenters, anyone with a trade is actually middle class back then and mostly even now. So he's saying, you know, I won't gain any status by marrying Mary. She doesn't even have a dowry of a filthy rich family. I'm good. I don't need any of this in my life. I'll just go ahead and divorce her like I planned. He could have said that. He could have argued with God about it. And a whole bunch of other things he could have said or thought or done. He could have bellyached and whined. "Why me, Lord? Couldn't you assign this to somebody else?" Maybe you've asked yourself that question before. Why me? Why? Go to the other person. Because, you know, I got a whole lot on my plate already, God. And yet, this is what Joseph did. He actually believed God. He actually believed that God was sending his Messiah through his lineage. So he believed God, and he chose to submit his will to God. He may have had that whole monologue, all the scenarios running through his mind, but in the end, he believed that baby was the Messiah, and he married Mary and named the baby Jesus, just as the angel instructed. He chose God's will over his own, and because of that, all of humanity is blessed. Amen. Now, the last thing I want to take note about Joseph is that he obeyed God. The simple thing, well, not so simple, simply said, but it's a challenge to actually make it happen all the time. He obeyed God. We see it in this particular passage that he obeys God by not divorcing Mary and naming the child Jesus, right? That's his act of obedience right out the gate. But we also see Joseph's obedience in the other scarce accounts of him. Matthew chapter 2, if you turn your Bibles, you'll see that God speaks to Joseph at least three more times. That's recorded in scripture. And he always speaks to Joseph in his dreams. So all three times, the writer highlights Joseph's obedience. Joseph takes his family to Egypt after the wise men's visit. So again, God speaks to him in a dream. Go here for safety. So he keeps his family safe by going to Egypt. He brings Mary and Joseph out of Egypt after Herod dies. God speaks to him, "Come out of Egypt. It's now safe to travel with the baby." He obeys God. And he moves the family to Nazareth. Now, Joseph's obedience helps God fulfill his plan of salvation and shows us that God is faithful to keep his word, as evidenced by the fulfilled prophecies. Because, like, when you're reading the story of Jesus, there's all types of prophecies coming to fruition. The prophet Hosea mentions God calling his son out of Egypt. Hosea, years and years and years before Jesus comes. Joseph teaches us that obedience can be hard, it can be scary, it's unknown, and God is with us. God is with us to help us overcome the limits of our understanding. He helps us overcome our fears. And God rewards those who obey. So let's be like Joseph. Let's be people of great valor. The same spirit that was in Joseph lives in us today. We too can choose to practice mercy and humility. We can believe God's word and submit our will to God. And we can choose to obey him. And when we do these things, God not only blesses us, but he blesses the people around us. That's why he calls us to follow him and be like him. I close with a quote from Pastor Stanley Jenkins. He's a pastor at the First Presbyterian Church in Lansing, Michigan. And he says this about what we can learn from Joseph. Friends, God has promised salvation and a new heaven and a new earth. Let us let our lesser selves fade from our own views, that our higher selves, all that is best and brightest in us, might dwell securely in the kingdom of God in our midst. Let us, like Joseph, abandon what is old and passing away and embrace the Christ child. Mm-hmm. Pray with me. Holy God, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for these simple verses that show us how we can be better, how we can be more like you. We don't have a long book about how Joseph was and who he was, and all the things that he did, but those few verses that are there included in your holy word teach us so much. Help us, Lord God, to embrace all of the learnings, to remember to walk humbly before you, to choose mercy when we can. Thank you, God, for that. Help us, Lord, to be loving and to be kind, but you've also shown us through Joseph that we need to submit our will to you. We don't have all the answers, and so it's best to do that, to trust you so that you can use us for your glory. Help us to obey you. All of these things we ask in your precious holy name, so that we might better reflect who you are in us. All for your glory. Amen. All right. Let us close with a song and then our benediction.
And we have a great song to close with. Let's stand and we're going to sing Go Tell It on the Mountain. A fun song.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds with their watching, or silent flocks by night, behold the heavens, there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angel's chorus that hailed our Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain. Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. That Jesus Christ is born.
Amen. Let us go from this place. And as our word from Advent is love, let us remember to share our love with the people around us, everywhere, all around us. Even those people, you're not like really trying to, those people especially, show them your love that God has given to you. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this day. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for your holy word. Help us to live out the word from Advent this week, love. Help us to love our neighbors as ourselves. And who's our neighbor, Lord, that Scripture has taught us? Every single person we meet. Thank you, God, for that ministry. Put joy in our hearts. Help us to share what we have, all for your glory. We thank you. And until we meet again, keep us safe. And we thank you, God, for doing it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Go, my dear brothers, my dear sisters, my siblings in Christ, shine with love this week.